Well, Michigan finished 10-2 on the football season. Not at all the way we saw the season ending, but still a 10-win year. We're going to break down the game against Ohio State a little bit more. We'll talk about what Michigan has coming up, what we look forward to in 2019. And at the end of the podcast, stay tuned because we've got some tough questions. You guys send in some great questions, and I will not shy away from answering a couple of tough questions. We have all this and more on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
You've been named the Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year. What does that mean to you?
You know, to earn that honors, you know, that means the world, you know, to me. It's just one of those things I'm going to remember forever. And that's something I can always show my kids and my grandchildren.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
As we look back on the year, one of the highlights, one of our players, Devin Bush, was named Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. He will join us in just a little bit. Before we get to Devin, Brian, let's talk a little bit about Saturday, and let's talk a little bit about what we have coming up for Michigan football.
Yeah, it's a somber 7 from 77, but we'll make it fun. First things first, John, if someone asks you right now, today, November 28th, 2018, where is this Michigan program? How would you answer that question?
Well, Brian, as I look at this season, I'm going to have to look to the past and look at the progress that this team, this program has made, not just in the last 4 years, but let's look at the last 15 years. Honestly, since Lloyd Carr retired, this is the most relevant Michigan football has been. And it seems like a long time, but it has spanned three different coaches now. We were relevant in the Big Ten East in terms of, you know, we have a co-championship in the Big Ten East. I don't think most people realize that or understand that. We did not get a chance to go to Indianapolis, which is disappointing. And it's disappointing because we had such high hopes with 10 straight wins getting into that final game. And when you lose to Ohio State, it's tough to look at the year with any sense of reality. But the reality is we had a 10-win team. We had the number two leading rusher in the Big Ten. We had the number two quarterback in pass efficiency in Shea Patterson. We still ended up the season with the number one total defense, number one pass defense, number one pass defense efficiency, number four in terms in our offense of giving up sacks. All right. And when you look in terms of what our offense has been able to do coming into this football season, the big question marks, offensive line, quarterback. I think Shea Patterson answered a lot of those questions at quarterback, and I think our offensive line did a tremendous job of answering those questions at the offensive line position. It was a very balanced offense. And looking to the future, we do lose some players, and we'll find out who's going to be back, who's not going to be back over the next coming weeks. But we have a lot of underclassmen that got great experience. We have a lot of underclassmen that were great contributors this football season. So there's a lot that I have to look forward to. And yeah, I'm still mad about what happened on Saturday. And I'm still frustrated about what happened on Saturday in Columbus. But when I look at the season as total, we have made such great progress over the last 4 years. And I see very good things, very positive things in the near future.
That being said, John, number two, you have to try to learn from a game like Saturday's and move forward and get better. So what does Michigan do to learn from Saturday?
Well, I think the players individually have to look at that game and look at their performance and say, you know what, it wasn't good enough. The coaches have to look at how they prepared the team, at what they did on Saturday and say it wasn't good enough. Everybody in the football program. And I include myself in that. I'm not on staff, but I'm around these kids every day. What could I have talked to them about? What could I have shared with them that would improve their chances of winning? And this is a family. This is a team. This is not just a coach, not just a player, but it is everybody involved. And we have to look at how can we get our players on a weekly basis to play at a higher level, and especially on the road. You know, when you look at not just last week, but when you look at the whole football season, when we played in South Bend, when we played in Evanston, when we played in East Lansing, when we played in Columbus, none of those games I can really say we started fast. And I think that's one area where we can look at and we could come out with a little bit more energy. We can come out with a little bit more excitement and not just trying to plan on coming back from 17 down in Evanston. We learned a great lesson there. We learned some great lessons in East Lansing. We learned some great lessons at home. But we have to be able to start fast when you're playing in South Bend, when you're playing in Columbus.
Number three, considering all of that, Michigan still won 10 in a row this season. How much does Saturday take away from that in your eyes? And is the bowl performance something that can help not completely eliminate that frustration, but certainly help to make this season feel a little bit more full than it does right now?
Well, I think what you have to do, and the reason that right now the feeling sucks, there's no other way to put it. And Brian, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's going to suck for a while. But when you get a chance to get a little bit more removed from this game and you look back at those 10 wins and you look, okay, you say, the two teams that we lost to were two of the top, you know, six teams in the country, in Notre Dame and in Ohio State. Everybody else that we beat, all right, good teams along the way, Wisconsin, big win, MSU, big win, Penn State, good win, Northwestern, good win, Nebraska, Maryland, you know, we had some good wins, Indiana. And you can't lose sight just because of the way that I feel right now, the way that we all feel right now. You've got to put that aside and look back and say, okay, we lost to Notre Dame. Then we came back and we beat five teams that we were supposed to beat. And we beat them how we were supposed to beat them. Western Michigan, SMU, Nebraska, Northwestern, Maryland. All right, those teams, and especially the first three, Western Michigan, SMU, and Nebraska, there was not going to be a whole lot of great feeling coming out of those games because they were inferior opponents. Then you play Northwestern, you play Maryland, you play two teams that are, you know, not the greatest teams, and Northwestern has proven to be a better win over time because they did win the Big Ten West. Then you look at Wisconsin, who at the time was ranked 15th. Michigan State, at the time, they were ranked 24th. They were the number one rushing defense in the country. At the time, Penn State was ranked number 14. We did some things this year that we haven't done in the past, where we were able to win on the road. We were able to beat a rival on the road. We were able to beat a rival. We were able to play against ranked opponents and rush the ball. And we were able to throw the ball with efficiency. We had a very balanced offense. So when I look at those 10 wins and I look at the job that these kids did in recovering from a loss, a tough loss in South Bend, and continuing to fight through the season. There's a lot of things that happen in a football season, ups and downs, injuries. And I look at, just take, for example, our defensive line. We lost Rashawn Gary for 3 weeks. Who did we find? Josh Uche, Quiddy Pay. We found a bunch of guys that wanted to step up and win for Michigan. And that excites me because those guys are going to be back. I know that Rashawn Gary declared that he's going to go to the NFL, and good for him. I hope he is extremely successful. But we have guys that have been able to step up, have experience, have success, that will be a part of this Michigan football team in 2019.
John, number four, your thoughts on the bowl situation. Looking at it right now, based on how the college football landscape looks, barring wins for two or even three of the group of Pitt, Texas, and Northwestern, likely Michigan will go to a New Year's Six game. Your thoughts, where do you most want Michigan to go?
Well, between the Rose, the Peach, and the Fiesta, I want to go to the Rose Bowl. I think every Michigan fan, alumni, anybody associated with a Big Ten program, given the choice of those three, would say the Rose Bowl. And the only way that's going to happen is if Ohio gets into the college football playoffs, because then the Rose Bowl will take the next highest rated Big Ten football team, and that would be Michigan. So we'd go to the Rose Bowl, and that would be a, let's call it a nice consolation prize, because there's no, they call it the granddaddy of them all for a great reason. It's the best bowl game you're ever going to go to. Then the Peach and the Fiesta. The Peach is played in Georgia, in Atlanta, and the Fiesta will be out in Arizona. Either of those places would be great destinations, and they're going to be New Year's Six bowl games, so you're going to get a lot of attention. And the great thing about playing in a major bowl game in a New Year's Six game is the exposure that your program gets. And most people will say, well, Michigan doesn't need any more exposure. In today's recruiting world, you need to be able to perform in those top bowl games because that's what the top recruits are looking at. When you think about the practices that you have leading up to that bowl game, the teams that aren't in bowl games, those are 15 opportunities they don't get to be on the field to get their young guys better, to improve the technique and the schemes of their veteran players. And that is an unbelievable benefit and the major reason why people love going to bowl games. Coaches love bowl games because they get those extra practices and it gives the kids a structured environment all the way through their first semester.
If you want a better illustration of how great the Rose Bowl is, John just said he wants it even though it would get Ohio State in the playoff. That's how good the Rose Bowl is. Fair?
You know what? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Rose Bowl is special. And, you know, and people can say, well, because of the college football playoffs, it's not the Big Ten championship and the Pac-12 champion anymore. You know what? It's still going to be the Pac-12 against the Big Ten. And it's still going to be a great matchup. And when you go to Pasadena, I don't care how long the college football playoffs are around or how much it evolves, there is something special about playing in Pasadena on New Year's Day. And there always will be because of the history of that football game. And not just the history of it, but the history that Michigan has in the Rose Bowl. It is where I won my national championship, and it'll always have great memories for me. And there are so many former Wolverines that played in that game. There are so many former alumni and students that went to that game, and they have memories of being in Pasadena and what it meant. So, that's as little as I want to say Ohio go to the college football playoffs. But let's say this, and we won't really know until after this week, you know, in terms of who wins these championship games. But if you look back on this football season and Notre Dame is in the college football playoffs and Ohio State is in the college football playoffs, who else in the country can say their only two losses were teams that went to the playoffs?
No, it's a fair point. No question. Number five on today's 7 from 77, you're around this team all the time. I'm just curious your thoughts on how the Wolverines handled such a tough loss. From all accounts, it looks like they did it with class. They did it the right way, which is not easy for 18 to 22-year-old young men to do in that environment.
No, it's not. And those examples are all set from the leadership of this football team, from Jim Harbaugh, from the assistant coaches, from Ward Manuel, the athletic director. When they are asked about this game, they talk about the great performance and the great effort by Ohio State, and they give them credit for what they did. And we talk about – we take on the what happened. We accept the fact that we didn't play our best game. We accept the fact that there were mistakes made in the game, both from the sidelines, on the field, in the press box. I mean, it just, you cannot run away from what happened. And I think Michigan did a great job of addressing the and answering the tough questions. And there's, trust me, these tough questions aren't going to end. They are not over. Just because we talked about them now, you know, they if you don't answer them now, then they just become worse and worse in the coming weeks. But this is going to be questions that we have to answer, and we can't answer them until we play Ohio State in the Big House next November.
Yeah, to that point, John, number six, how do the players from now until really they get the opportunity, maybe not against Ohio State, but their next game, whether it's the Rose, the Peach, or the Fiesta Bowl, to keep away the outside noise? Because let's face it, there's a lot of it surrounding this program right now. How do they stay focused in on improving for the bowl game and improving for 2019?
Well, because it's about what happens in Schembechler Hall. It's about improving. And you take a look at that film and what happened on Saturday, just like you would a win against Michigan State or a win against Wisconsin or a win against Nebraska. You take a look at the film and you break it down and you say, okay, here are the things that we did well. Here are the things we didn't do well. And you know, depending on the game, the either list could be long or short. And trust me, after Saturday, the list of what we didn't do well is going to be a little bit longer than usual, because it's hard to look at that and not find different things that everybody could have done differently. And so you break it down, and then you go back out on the practice field for bowl practice, and you correct those mistakes, and you drill them, and you continue to work on them, so that if the same situation or the same play or the same scenario happens in the bowl game, you have it fixed and you improve. And that's the beauty of a bowl game. And the tough thing about football, it's not like baseball. It's not like basketball, where you've got back-to-back games, or you play a doubleheader, you play two games in one day. You have to wait, at a minimum, in college football, 7 days before you play your next game. And a lot of times, after a loss, that's hard. It's hard to wait to get back on the field. But that's what you're used to. And if you lose your last game, no matter who it's against, you have to wait until, if it's a bowl game, you've got to wait 4 to 5 weeks to get back on the field and get that nasty taste out of your mouth. If it's a bowl game, you've got to wait all the way until, you know, next September before you can get that nasty taste out of your mouth. But you're used to it. And so and I'm not saying you're used to the taste or you're used to the feeling, but you're used to those 7 day layoffs or those 5 weeks that you have to wait. And it doesn't make it any easier, but that's the schedule of a football player. And the schedule is, hey, you play a game, you break it down, you improve, you play another game. And that will always be what's going on in a football player's mind.
And lastly, on 7 from 77, your thoughts on Rashawn Gary declaring for the NFL draft?
Oh, I'm very happy for him. I'm happy that he was healthy enough to play at the end of the football season. He's a good kid, had a good season, had a good career at Michigan. There's two factors at play. He's got another year of eligibility. And from a guy that spent 5 years there and still wants a sixth, it's tough to see some of these kids leave early. I understand it, because the prospects of his NFL career are high, and he's got a great opportunity. And, you know, people will say, well, you come to Michigan for your education. That is 100% correct. And I hope that Rashawn Gary, whether it's next year, in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, he comes back and finishes his degree. But the reason that you go to school, or one of the reasons that you go to school, is to get an education or get the opportunity to get a good paying job, a well paying job, a job that will provide for your family. And Rashawn Gary has that opportunity right now, and doesn't have to finish the 4 years for that opportunity to be there. And so I'm extremely happy that he's put himself in position to have success on the football field, have success in the classroom, and be the man that he is going into the NFL. He'll represent us extremely well.
Speaking of players who had success on the field, Devin Bush, Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year, as announced on Tuesday. And John, you had a chance to catch up with him.
I did, and it was an award. He's going to talk about winning the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year award, and I couldn't be happier for a player. You know, there's been a lot of things that have been said about Devin Bush. He's too small. He's too short. He can't do this, can't do that. And he has proven everybody wrong. And I get a chance to ask him about that, and I think everybody's going to enjoy this. But let's give this over to Devin Bush, and we'll come back and answer some questions after this interview. Captain Devin Bush joins us on In the Trenches. You've been named the Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year. What does that mean to you?
It's still, you know, in the moment kind of thing. But, you know, every time I hear it, it's one of those days where, you know, you got to take a step back and, you know, kind of give you that pat on the back to yourself. And, you know, to earn that honors, you know, that means the world, you know, to me. And it's just one of those things that I'm going to remember forever.
When you look back at the 12 games that you played, you know, what does this defense, what has it meant to you?
Brotherhood. You know, it was a bunch of guys, you know, motivated. It was a bunch of people, you know, defensive players, you know, offensive players, the whole team and coaches. You know, we all was dedicated to one goal. You know, we worked so hard at that goal. You know, we fell short, but, you know, we worked hard throughout that whole year.
What were some of the goals that you had personally coming into this football season?
Mainly was to win. That was my biggest goal. Personal goal was to win. I knew, you know, if we won, you know, everything else, you know, would take care of. So,
when you look at the growth that this team has had from the start of the season to the end, where on the defensive side of things do you feel the biggest growth happened?
Mentality. Mentality-wise was the biggest thing that, you know, we developed this year. We had identity. You know, we was an aggressive defense, we was a fast defense, and, you know, we weren't going to change for nobody.
What was it like playing with such with the guys like Chase and Rashawn up front, and then, you know, all the guys, David Long, in the back end? What was it like to play with such talent?
It was fun, you know, playing with guys of high caliber and knowing those guys are coming to play each and every game and each and every play. You know, we competed against each other, you know, whether it was stats, just playing hard or, you know, talking trash. We did it all.
When you say talking trash, you're talking trash to your own guys?
Ourselves, the opponent, whoever.
see who can make the best play?
Exactly.
You know, a couple of games, you had the biggest hit of the game, an award that you got. What's it feel like when you get a chance to follow through on a big hit?
Yeah.
Do you see it coming?
Yeah, you do. It slows down. Like I think I described this before earlier this year. Once you see it, you know, it slows down and you kind of lock in to where you're going to hit and where you're attacking. And then once you make that impact, you know, it all just speeds up. And by the time you look up, you know, you're both on the ground. You hear the crowd, you know. So,
with the rule changes that have happened through college football, how much more difficult does it become to make a big hit like that just with the targeting rule?
Yeah, a lot. You know, it holds back a lot, especially for defensive players, you know, because offensive guys are allowed to lower their heads and protect themselves. But at the end of the day, we still have a job to get that guy on the ground. So kind of it changes your ways on how you make tackles.
I know Don Brown was not only your defensive coordinator, but he's your position coach as well. What has he meant to you as a player?
Everything, especially my college career, you know, he taught me a lot about the game, and he taught me a lot about myself and what areas I never knew I had. Like, I was not a pass rusher coming into college, you know. I wasn't a man-to-man guy coming into college. You know, I had the skill set to do it, but I never really did it until I got here, and I think he brought that aspect of my game out a lot.
How does he continue to draw those things out of you guys? What does he do at practice that makes you guys continue to excel?
Just how hard he is on us. You know, he doesn't expect average out of any of his players, you know, whether you're first string or to scout team. You know, he doesn't let you slack off. If he sees potential in you and he knows that you want to be a good player, you know, he's going to be on you at all times.
And you've got a great defensive staff, and Mike Zordich, Al Washington, Greg Madison. How much do those guys, you know, not just their positions, but how much do they help you as well? Especially Al Washington, still a linebacker coach, just on the outside.
You learn a lot. Everybody, you know, seeing different things in their coaching, you know, their coaching career. And you get to pick their brain. You know, you just having conversations with them, you know, you pick up a lot about the game of football and also, like, the game of life, I like to say. And, you know, you could just take things that they learned within their career and you could, you know, apply it to your life.
You've been a guy that's been around football your whole life. Your dad played football. He came to Michigan with you. How much do you think that experience of growing up just around the game has helped you become the player you are?
Yeah, a lot. Tremendously, a lot. My uncle also played football. He played, you know, at UCF and played in the Canadian League for some years. And like you said, I've always been around football. So it was nothing new to me. You know, once I actually started playing and, you know, had a career of my own, it was something I was always comfortable with. And I was a fast learner. You know, I understood football at a very young age.
Do you remember your dad as a football player?
At first, I didn't know that was his job. You know, yeah. I didn't know what he really was doing. I thought everybody's dad played football, to be honest with you. And when I got older, I kind of realized, you know, what he did and what he accomplished, and you know what he was doing at the time. And you know, it was like, wow, like not too many people get to do that.
Do you have a special memory of growing up of watching your dad play ball?
I was young when he was playing. By the time I can remember, you know, his career is, you know, about over. But I do remember going to the games when he played for the Cleveland Browns, because I remember people used to wear that little hat with the dog ears on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when he won the Super Bowl with the Rams. Because I remember at the end of the game, it was a whole bunch of confetti on the field.
When you look at this award, winning the Big Ten Player of the Year, you're also a finalist for the Nagurski and the Butkus Award. What would it mean, because you were a finalist for the Butkus Award last year as well, what would it mean to be able to take home that hardware as well?
Honor. You know, it would be a tremendous honor. You know, it would be a legacy that I left behind here at Michigan. Not too many people get to win that award. You know, it's a lot of linebackers in the college football world. And to be named one of the best, you know, that's something, like I said, it's just going to be with me forever. And that's something I can always show my kids and my grandchildren.
When I watch you play, you play with a great flow, and there's I've described it as like watching an artist, you know, work on his craft. And what would you say in terms of, you know, the people that have doubted you along the way, mm-hmm. sometimes of, you know, he's 5'11", he's not big enough, he's not you know, heavy enough. What you win awards like this, what do you say to him?
Not nothing. You just look at him smiling. Give them a little wink, because, you know, they know they was wrong. I mean, the film does not lie. And that's one thing that I like to say, an eye in the sky doesn't lie. So, I mean, you can say all you want, but when you come to film, it's completely different for what you got to say.
And whether this is a year away or 2 years away, I don't want you to say anything about that. But what would it mean to then get a chance to play in the NFL?
Dream come true. Be one of the ways I describe it. It'd be definitely a dream come true, because my whole life, I've been dreaming about playing NFL, you know, trying to be better than my dad and do the things that he never did before. So to get the chance to even, you know, play in the NFL would be living a dream for me.
How do what constitutes being better than your dad?
First, I gotta win more awards than him. I gotta be a better player than him.
So it sounds like you got a list already.
Yeah. I gotta get drafted higher than him.
Where was he drafted?
He was 25.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got to get drafted to him, higher than him. Got to play longer than him. Got to have more touchdowns than him. Got to have more tackles. Got to have more picks.
So how many touchdowns did your dad have?
I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Yeah, that's
find out.
When you look at your career here, not just this year, but every year, you've been talked about, your defense has been talked about as one of the top defenses in the country. How do you guys continue to play at that level?
Probably want to say just coaches. Coaches was very hard on us, and we was hard on ourselves as well. We was very determined, you know, to keep the legacy going, because when Coach Brown got here, he had the number one defense before he got here. Mm-hmm. In 2016, he had the number one defense again. So to even fall short of that, you know, was something that we did not want to do. You know, we didn't want to be the people or the group of guys that was like, oh, yeah, they're not number one defense. They're not good enough. So that was one of the things where it was like, we got to keep the legacy going. We got to keep the tradition, because the guys that left before us, you know, they were the number one defense. So we got to keep it going.
When you leave here, no matter when it is, what do you want Michigan fans to remember Devin Bush as?
The best linebacker to play here at Michigan ever. I want them, you know, when Michigan comes up and they talk about players and, you know, who was a legendary player here, who was a player you always remember, I want my name to be, you know, in that contest.
When you see little kids running around with your number on their jersey, how does that make you feel?
Crazy. It's really crazy, you know, to be even have that luxury of just seeing that, you know, you're the type of guy that, you know, you touch kids, you know, you don't know you're doing it, but when you actually get to see it, you're like, wow, like, you know, I really touching these kids' life.
Well, congratulations on the Big Ten Player of the Year, and good luck in the rest of the awards.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate Devin Bush stopping by on his award tour, and we're pulling for him for that Nagurski Award, the number one defensive player in the country, as well as the Butkus Award, which would be the number one linebacker in the country. Those will be announced in the coming weeks, but thank you to Devin Bush for stopping by, and I think now, Brian, is the time that we get to a few of these questions, and I know some of them aren't going to be easy, but let's see if we can work our way through them.
I think this will be therapeutic for you, for me, for everybody. And I know you are a big man in terms of massages and relaxation, and you're very calm.
Yeah, if this was going to be therapeutic, you'd have to have the beep button next to you, because there'd be a lot of bad words and a lot of anger coming out, which I have. I actually got to tell you a quick story, Brian. After the game, this is how I try and deal with things as a player. You watch film, you get back on the field, and you practice, and you get that dirt, that mud, that bad feeling, starts to kind of fall off and go away. Well, when you're in the media or you're a part of the athletic department, I mean, what are you going to do? I can't go out to practice. If I work out, who cares? Except maybe my cardiologist. And when I'm leaving that city from Ohio, and I just feel like I've got just gunk on me. When I get home, I gotta take the clothes off. I put them in a double bag, them in a trash bag, and you find somewhere to put them, because the only way to get clean is to burn that feeling off, and you get rid of everything that you associate that day with. You don't forget about it, because you got to learn from it. But you just don't want to associate with whatever it was. And I'm not a superstitious guy, but I'm not going to wear the same socks. I'm not going to wear the same drawers. I'm not going to wear the same pants. I'm not going to wear the same shirt, because it's bad luck.
Have you burned everything from last weekend?
I did send up a few smoke signals. That was therapeutic. Very therapeutic.
Well, good. I'm glad you've gotten through that. We can move forward. Dave needs some help in that area. He simply asks, why can't we have nice things?
That's a great question. You know what, Dave? To have nice things, you got to earn them. And to earn them, you got to do it 12 weeks out of the year. And when that happens, and it will happen, and I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It's going to happen with Jim Harbaugh. It's going to happen with this football team. We are going to have nice things. And I see these kids work at practice. I see the coaches working on the practice field in the meeting rooms. I get a chance to be around them, and there are some great things happening in Schembechler Hall and with this football team. And, yes, we will have nice things. We just have to get there.
All right, Philip on Twitter. Was Saturday's loss just a bad hiccup in a good season, or is there more? Is there a need for change in personnel? There has to be a point in which we say absolutely not again.
This is not – if we were to look on paper and play this game on paper, Michigan would have won. But that's not what happens. And you can't just say, I'm not going to let this happen again, because – they're practicing down there. They're trying to improve on a daily basis. What you have to do is you have to get back to the drawing board. And no, we don't need a change in personnel. No, we don't need to change what we're doing. We just have to go back to the drawing board and tweak a few things. When I think of changes, I think of a new offense or a new staff or new players. That's not what we need. We just need to continue to tweak and teach our kids the game of football. And give them the passion of Michigan football and what it means to play against Ohio State, what it means to play in the Big House, and what it would mean for them to win a Big Ten championship. When you go back and you think about the ability to win championships, and at Michigan, there have been 42 Big Ten championships, 11 national championships. We've had 3 Heisman Trophy winners. But they have always, not always, but mostly come from classes that as freshmen, they had, juniors and seniors that led them to a Big Ten championship. So they saw the blueprint. These kids now, it's been, 14 years, going on 15 years without a Big Ten championship, where they have not seen that happen. They don't know what that lesson is. We learned some great lessons this year in terms of, like I mentioned before, the lesson of going on the road and winning against a rival, winning against a ranked opponent. Those are all things that we hadn't been able to do coming into this football season. We checked those boxes. There's still more to learn. You have to learn how to win in Columbus. You have to learn how to beat Ohio State. You have to learn how to win championships.
Paul via Twitter, what did Ohio State do differently that kept Michigan from getting pressure as often as the rest of the season, especially when Haskins was carving them up?
Well, I think early on it was some quick passes, and then as the game wore on, we had been getting pressure with four rushers, and yes, we would throw some blitzes every once in a while, and those were some of the spectacular plays that people would see. But we had been able to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks with four and five rushers. We weren't getting home. We weren't winning those matchups. And that's what football comes down to. You have to win individual matchups. And when that doesn't happen, and you've got man coverage in the secondary, you can only hold man coverage for so long. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, we need to go to zone. No, you don't. But defense has to work in concert with one another. The secondary has to work in concert with the front four and the front seven. The linebackers have to be able to go, you know, as pass rushers or as run defenders or as pass defenders. And when it works, it's a thing of beauty. Watching Don Brown's defense for 11 games this year was a thing of beauty. But when you don't get pressure on a quarterback and you allow Dwayne Haskins, who is a very good quarterback, the leading passer in the Big Ten, number two passer in the country, he has the ability to deliver the football. When you have athletes like Ohio State has at wide receiver, it is hard to play man coverage. Our defenders did it admirably for the time that they had been doing it for throughout the football season. But when you don't put pressure on the quarterback, all of a sudden, they've got to hold it a few seconds longer, and that's a challenge. It's very tough to do. And I don't care if you're playing zone or you're playing man. If you can't put pressure on a quarterback like Dwayne Haskins, that secondary is at a huge disadvantage.
So lumping in a couple of questions along this topic from Chris and from Big B, Chris was asking, how was OSU able to exploit the Michigan defense? Was it schematic or was it execution by Ohio State? And Big B asked, in general, can you run man-to-man defense all year and have success? And then when you face Ohio State, know you might have to change everything up. So I think on your side of things, are you saying Michigan just needs to execute better? You don't have to completely change who you are just for one opponent.
Correct. And it's not about, it will never be about what Notre Dame does or Ohio State or Wisconsin or Penn State. If Michigan goes out there and executes and they win individual matchups and they play as a team, they will win every game that they ever take the field in. But these are 18 to 22 year old kids. I mean, I think one of the things a trap that we fall into is that because of the largeness of Michigan, the largeness of, you know, this matchup in the game and the passion that people have for Michigan football and college football, is that we sometimes start to treat these players like they're professional athletes. They have the ability like professional athletes, but they're 18 to 22 year old kids, and they're continuing to learn the game of football. They're continuing to learn and understand how to deal with pressure. And this is one game. Albeit the biggest game on the schedule, it is still one game. And the other 10 wins that they had leading up to this point, they executed extremely well for 60 minutes. And if you look at this game, if Michigan individually plays just a little bit better, or we don't have missed assignments, or we don't have penalties, or we don't have breakdowns, whether it's in pass protection or in the secondary or in pass rush, we keep our pass rush lanes, we win this football game. So it's not about what Ohio State did, and it will never be about what Ohio State. You can't convince me ever it's about what Ohio State did. It's about how we execute our game plan, how we execute individual matchups, and that's what it comes down to.
Silk33 via Twitter, he says, I think the best playmakers on this team are the wideouts. Are they not open on routes, or was Patterson not able to find them on Saturday?
Well, I think the problem was that Patterson just didn't have the time to throw the ball and to get downfield. You know, you've got to have – and it's just like the defense. When we talk about the pass rush and being able to put pressure on a quarterback, it's the same thing offensively. If you're going to take and get big chunk plays down the field, it starts with pass protection. And it starts with, you know, making sure that the guards and centers, they set the depth of the pocket and the tackles set the width of the pocket so that the quarterback has this little comfy home to stay in and deliver the football. When he doesn't have that, it's very hard for a quarterback to you know, take the time or for the wide receivers to even have the time to get open downfield. Now, Shea Patterson all season long has been able to scramble out of the pocket, and that's where at some of the times, some of the games, that's where he's been at his best. They just weren't able to get that done this week.
Text from a 419 number. Do you think it's a mental problem that they just have it in their mind that they can't beat Ohio State?
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's a mental problem, no. Do I think it's a mental challenge? Yes. And you know, when you look at you continually stumble against the same team, you continue to stumble over the same things that are preventing you from your goals. And that's the goal is not beating Notre Dame. The goal is not beating Ohio State. Yes, those are individual game goals. Yes, and don't misunderstand me. I want to beat Ohio State every year. I want to beat any team that lines up across from Michigan. But the goal is championships. Michigan is always and will always measure success on championships. We've got 42 Big Ten championships. And when you look at what Michigan is trying to accomplish, we're trying to build what Ohio State has built. We're trying to build what Alabama has built, and that is a championship contender on a yearly basis. And when we get to that point, will we be talking about wins against Ohio State? Yes. Will we be talking about wins against Michigan State, Notre Dame? Yes. And that's where we've got to get to. And yes, there is a mental component to it. The game of football, any sports endeavor, any competition, there is a mental side to it, and you have to be as mentally tough and probably more mentally tough than physically tough, because you've got to be able to prepare. You've got to be able to study. You've got to be able to continue to do the things that give you a chance to win that game on Saturday.
Andrew via Twitter, John, I know 62-39, he says, will be posted all over your office and home for motivation. Any chance we see those numbers posted around Schembechler Hall in the offseason? To this point, John, the revenge tour was the motivating factor this season. It was to avenge multiple losses. Now, really, there's two, and the Ohio State one is the one that really resonates. So how, to Andrew's point, does Michigan use this as further motivation?
Well, this is one of those games where it stings, it hurts, and will I post 62-39 around my house? There may be a few places that I'll see it. One of them might be the bottom of my toilet. But it is one of those things where, yes, you want to flush that feeling. You want to get rid of that feeling. I would love to be able to line up and play Ohio State right now. But that can't happen. So what you have to do is you get back to the drawing board. And every guy, I guarantee you, every guy that is back wearing the maize and blue next football season will not forget the score of this football game. And more importantly, it's not the score. It's the feeling. It's the feeling of defeat. And it is the worst feeling that any football player, any competitor can ever have. That you lost in something, that somebody was better than you. And I'm going to go back to the drawing board and find out how I can do what I do at Michigan better to give us an opportunity to win football games.
So that's it for the questions. Thank you to all for weighing in on Twitter, via text, via email. You can continue to do that throughout December. We'll keep some podcasts going. Twitter at JohnJansen77. Email MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. Text 734-328-1760. One of the many awful things about Saturday is there is no game on Saturday. What do we do to end the podcast? Do you have like a knock-knock joke or a fun riddle you can tell us? Like, what do we do, John?
No, I tell you what. I'm going to tell every Wolverine, just like I would tell my kids, is to enjoy some family time. And for me, that's some time with my kids. That's going to be some time with Michigan football, and enjoy the end of college football season and look forward to Sunday. Because Sunday, we're going to find out what bowl game we're going to go to. We're going to find out who gets the unlucky draw to play against Michigan, whether it's in the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Peach Bowl. It doesn't matter, because Michigan will be ready to play. Michigan will be back, and Michigan will be ready to win. I'll talk to you next week on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.